Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 20th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the global death toll from COVID-19 tops 10,000.
As the virus spreads, communities across the country clamp down on activity.
In Europe, fatalities climb in Italy, where deaths now surpass those in China.
Financial markets take it all in stride as stocks gain around the world.
California's governor issues a statewide order for home isolation to avoid COVID-19. Plus, four people from a New Jersey family have died from the virus. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Saints coach Sean Payton and Marcus Smart of the Celtics have both tested positive for coronavirus. The Giants signed veteran quarterback Colt McCoy.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
And U.S. futures and global stocks are gaining this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 101 points. Dow futures up 894. NASDAQ futures up 355. The DAX in Germany up 5.6%. The CAC in Paris up 6%. FTSE 100 up 3.33%. 10-year Treasury up 28.32. The yield 1.04%. And the yield on the 2-year 0.41%. NYMEX crude oil is up 10.5% at $27.89 a barrel. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. As the coronavirus outbreak spreads, communities across the country are clamping down on activity. We have Bloomberg team coverage on the fallout now, beginning in New York with Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Cases of the virus in New York City are nearing 4,000, 26 deaths so far. Governor Andrew Cuomo is fending off calls for a shelter-in-place order, but says he will not shut down the city.
Let's just take a deep breath and make sure we're acting on facts as opposed to acting on fear.
Cuomo's ordering businesses to keep 75% of workers at home. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy expects cases to reach into the many thousands. He's ordered personal care businesses to close, including barbershops, hair and nail salons, and tattoo parlors. I'm Michael Barr in New York. Now here's Joan Doniger in our Bloomberg 1061 Boston newsroom.
Governor Charlie Baker is activating the Massachusetts National Guard as confirmed cases in the state top 300. He's also promising a big increase in testing for the virus.
Over the course of the next several days and weeks, there will be an enormous increase in the amount of testing that takes place on a daily basis.
The first high-capacity drive-through testing facility in Massachusetts is now open at a CVS parking lot in Shrewsbury. I'm Joan Doniger. Now, here's Martin DeCaro from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
73 D.C. firefighters, paramedics, and emergency medical technicians are reported self-quarantined after potential exposure to the virus. Metro Transit Police closed two rail stations last night to discourage crowds from heading to the tidal basin to view the cherry blossoms. The district reported 32 new patients, nearly doubling the prior total. Cases now number 72. I'm Martin DeCaro in Washington. Now here's Amy Morris in Germantown, Maryland.
Governor Larry Hogan signed emergency legislation opening previously closed medical facilities across the state, and he's banning social gatherings of more than 50 people.
I have just enacted an executive order to shut down all bars, restaurants, movie theaters, and gyms across the state.
The governor's emergency measure also offers job protections for workers affected by the outbreak, as both Maryland and D.C. have reported a spike in unemployment claims. Maryland added 22 cases yesterday. That brings the state's total infections to 108. I'm Amy Morris in Germantown, Maryland. Now here's Ed Baxter in California, where Governor Gavin Newsom is issuing a statewide shelter-in-place order.
Newsom says about 56%, about 25.5 million people will become infected. He says he's written to the president asking for help. Moreover, he says we have community-acquired transmission in 23 counties with an increase of 44 community-acquired infections in 24 hours. He says in some parts of the state, the case rate is doubling every 4 days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Meantime, in Europe, Italy remains the epicenter of the outbreak. Deaths there now number more than in China as the country remains in lockdown. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Alessandro Speciale in Rome.
The government is thinking of imposing even harsher restrictions, for example, just going out once per day for food shopping and all that, but it's not clear whether this will be enough to slow down the growth of the virus in some regions. The situation is particularly worrying in the north. There are reports of hospitals really at capacity, not enough intensive care units for all the people coming in with the virus. One thing that is not clear is why the death rate in Italy has been so high compared to China.
Infections in Italy have now eclipsed 40,000. Deaths number more than 3,400.
In the meantime, in the UK, cases of COVID-19 have jumped 25% in one day. For the very latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. As confirmed cases of coronavirus top 3,200, the UK's Prime Minister has warned he may need to tighten restrictions in the capital. Like the rest of the country, Londoners have been asked to limit social contact and work from home. Sources tell us the government is now considering ordering bars, restaurants and shops to close. The country's health secretary says the UK is still only at the beginning of the virus outbreak. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. And in China, ground zero for the outbreak, we're seeing more signs the outbreak is slowing. Officials say today's 39 new cases all came from outside of the country. Here with the details is Bloomberg's Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Second day in a row with no domestic infections. China is now imposing tighter restrictions on inbound travelers. In the meantime, Beijing exonerated the heroic doctor who was reprimanded for warning about the outbreak. Dr. Li Wenliang later died of the disease. The party rebuked the Wuhan police force and punished two officers. Elsewhere, Premier Li Keqiang says most of China is now considered low risk and people are now returning to normal work and life. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Worldwide deaths from the virus have surpassed 10,000. That's according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The World Health Organization says the disease is now infecting people at a faster rate. Cases in the U.S. currently number more than 12,000, with 220 deaths. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, it's time to check the latest world and national news. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A Freehold, New Jersey family has been hit hard by the coronavirus. A fourth member of the Fusco family has died from COVID-19 within a week. Elizabeth Fusco, who lost her mother and three siblings, is beyond grief and says words cannot describe the pain and horror of what happened to her family.
It's like the second we start to grieve about one, the phone rings and there is another person gone, taken from us forever.
Two other relatives are in critical condition. And while the nation is trying to cope with the coronavirus, some scam artists are trying to make a fast buck. New York Attorney General Letitia James warned residents of people purportedly knocking on doors claiming to be from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and offering tests for the coronavirus, for a fee, of course. James says New Yorkers should know that no one from the CDC or any other health agency is knocking on doors to provide tests for the COVID-19 virus. It's one of the most sweeping moves of any state yet to curb the spread of the virus. California's governor has issued stay-at-home orders for the entire state, 40 million people. Governor Gavin Newsom says that unless the rise in cases of COVID-19 slows, it might overwhelm the state's medical system.
As a nation state, 40 million strong, we've been organized around an attack rate, as we refer to it, of about 56%, that the virus will impact about 56% of us. You do the math in the state of California, that's a particularly large number.
Newsom says people will be able to shop for food and seek medical care. One of the most precious items needed during this outbreak, ventilators. However, Vice President Mike Pence, who heads up the White House Coronavirus Task Force, says more ventilators will be on the way.
We're encouraged to learn that we've literally identified tens of thousands of ventilators that can be converted to treat patients. And we remain increasingly confident that we will have the ventilators that we need as the coronavirus makes its way across America.
President Trump has canceled the G7 meeting at Camp David scheduled for June because of the coronavirus. In a White House statement, the president plans to hold the meeting via video conference with G7 leaders instead. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the coronavirus continues to affect the sports world. More positive tests. Longtime Saints coach Sean Payton, Celtics starting guard Marcus Smart, and two members of the Lakers who have not been identified. Payton was seen at a horse racing track in Arkansas last weekend, surrounded by people, said he did not show respiratory symptoms. Smart said he feels fine. The Celtics played Utah March 6th. The Jazz, of course, have two players with it. And after it was learned the Nets have four, that's when the Lakers got tested. Their last game before the hiatus was against Brooklyn. As those in sports get quick tests and results, the controversy continues as to how and why when others have such trouble. And, of course, more positive tests make the games returning anytime soon seem more unlikely. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, in an interview on ESPN, said they can go later if need be. He's not sure how late. In other words, they can extend the season, which normally ends in early June. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver told ESPN that he doesn't have a clue as to what a return date will be. He said it will only come with the okay from public health officials. NFL news, the Rams released two veterans, running back Todd Gurley, linebacker Clay Matthews, veteran QB Joe Flacco, 1 year in Denver, now released. The Lions traded one of their top players, cornerback Darius Slay, to the Eagles, and the Giants have their backup, the starting QB Daniel Jones. It's Colt McCoy, who had been with Washington. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanfield. Nathan?
All right, thank you, John. And join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. Will there be a Tokyo Olympics this summer? Has the coronavirus changed the way we'll watch sports forever? We'll look to answer those questions with Rick Burton, Syracuse University Professor of Sports Management. That's tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports show wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures are higher now by 104 points. Dow futures up 950. NASDAQ futures a gain of 355 points. 10-year up 31/32, yield 1.03%. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update's brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com. Stocks and bonds climbing globally alongside U.S. stock index futures while the dollar halts an eight-day rally as investors review the unprecedented measures to shield jobs and economies from the coronavirus. Oil is extending a rebound, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 95 points this morning. Dow futures up 847. NASDAQ futures up 355. The DAX in Germany is up 5.7%. CAC in Paris up 5.8%. FTSE 100 up 3.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1 5/32, yield 1.01%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.41%. 30-year yield, 1.58%. NYMEX crude oil is up 7.7%, up $1.95 to $27.17 a barrel. COMEX gold up 2.1%, up $30.70 at $15.09.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.0731 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1768. And the yen is at 110.15. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it is the most sweeping move of any state yet to curb the spread of the coronavirus. California's governor has issued stay-at-home orders for 40 million people. Governor Gavin Newsom says the virus eventually could infect more than half the state's population. Members of President Donald Trump's economic team will convene on Capitol Hill to launch negotiations with Senate Republicans and Democrats racing to draft a $1 trillion-plus economic rescue package amid the coronavirus outbreak. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has unveiled a sweeping economic rescue plan to pump $1,200 checks directly to taxpayers. New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton told ESPN that he learned yesterday that he tested positive for the coronavirus. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's welcome in our next guest now. Francis Donald is head of macroeconomic strategy at Manulife Asset Management. Good to talk with you this morning, Francis. And it seems as though the question is less about whether we're in a recession now, but how long it will last and what recovery looks like, particularly after this move in California to essentially lock down the entire state. What's your view on where things go from here?
Well, we are headed towards one of the steepest contractions, if not the steepest contraction in modern economic history here. Q2 growth could look like something double-digit declines. This is unprecedented, and the speed at which we're going to see economic destruction is really quite fascinating. The hope, the optimistic scenario is that we're ripping the Band-Aid off, and by the third quarter of this year, we can see some improvements again. I'm a little concerned that we'll see improvements in some areas, particularly manufacturing and the supply chain component of this story, but services are probably going to take a little bit longer to get back online. So when we talk about this V-shaped recovery, we probably need to be specific about which industries. And ultimately, what we're experiencing here is going to be a fairly large behavioral shift in the way that companies and people operate. And that's not going to disappear by the third quarter of this year. That's probably going to persist for years, if not longer.
Are you implying then that the measures that we're hearing from Washington about sector by sector bailouts might not be enough for certain sectors?
Oh, we will certainly see support, just like we're seeing support globally. But these fiscal measures and our monetary measures are not going to prevent a recession. At this point, the forced closures, the deliberate slowing of our economy, short-term pain for, let's hope, long-term gain, is in place. These measures are going to cushion the blow. They will not prevent it. Most of what we're seeing on the fiscal side is going to be about the recovery, not about how painful the next 3 months are, particularly for a lot of our high-frequency economic data. My hope is that fiscal measures can lower the amount of layoffs that we see and bridge the gap between now and the other side, whenever that is. But it doesn't seem like there's been much in place yet that will significantly lower the amount of, for example, rise in jobless claims we're going to see.
Are there any further measures you're looking for from central banks, and what do you make of the emergency moves that have been announced so far?
So central banks are doing a fairly good job of proactively noticing the problem for them is not the coronavirus specifically, but the issues that we're seeing in the credit market. Unfortunately, even though we've seen, what they call the alphabet soup of measures, all sorts of different mechanisms, we still have some problems underlying this market. We have real rates that are rising, mortgage rates that are rising, municipal bonds look very problematic, vol in the fixed income market is still problematic. So there's more to be done here. My sense is that we will see yield curve control to try to pin the front end, but we also need to be having some serious discussions about the idea that the Fed may end up straight up buying corporate bonds or ETFs attached to corporate bonds. And that would have been sort of right out of left field, almost ludicrous for a lot of us even 2 months ago. But given the weakness that we're seeing in this market, for the Fed, this is no longer about the virus. It's about the potential for a credit crisis, and they need to stay on top of it.
Only about 45 seconds left here, Francis. What indicators are you going to be looking for in terms of whether we do see a sustained recovery in the third quarter?
So the indicators that I'm watching now are actually indicators I've never watched before. They're things like how many people are taking the subway, individual surveys from private companies that tell us how many hours were reduced every day. We're looking at Google searches for unemployment insurance. These are unprecedented times, and they call for unprecedented data points. We can't use the old tools in this type of environment. We have to be looking towards new ways to think about this economy.
All right. Thank you for joining us this morning. Good speaking with you. Francis Donald, she's the head of macroeconomic strategy at Manulife Asset Management. And taking a look at markets right now, we continue to see the rally for equities on this Friday morning, quadruple witching day. for equity markets. S&P futures higher by 89 points right now. Dow futures a gain of 796. NASDAQ futures hit limit up overnight. They're higher by 355 points. DAX in Germany a gain of 5.5%. CAC in Paris up 5.75%. 10 years up 1.83%. The yield 1.00%. 2-year Treasury yield is at 0.41%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Friday morning. And it is 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties. For investor partners, see them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are climbing as the dollar weakens sharply. That ends an eight-day rally for the greenback and leaves investors wondering if we've finally reached a bottom. Nancy Tengler is Chief Investment Officer at Leffer Tengler.
We're seeing good companies behave better than the overall market. In the beginning of the downturn, everything sold off, and now our stocks are starting to outperform. And that's usually a sign that we're at least getting close to a bottom.
And right now, S&P futures are up 3.3%. In Europe, the Stock 600 is up 3.7%, and bond yields are falling with a yield on 10-year treasuries at 0.99%.
That's as the Senate prepares another round of stimulus. The latest plan includes $1,200 tax rebates for individuals making less than $100,000 a year. As the coronavirus spreads, President Trump is being asked if the measure is enough.
If we can stop it in its tracks, the virus, it's plenty. If we can't, we'll have to go back and talk.
Do you support the idea of the government taking an equity stake in certain companies?
I do. I really do.
Well, President Trump says the government could take stakes in firms that get bailouts, but right now the plan under consideration provides $208 billion of loans for companies suffering from the pandemic, including $58 billion for the airline sector.
Worldwide, deaths from the virus have now surpassed 10,000. That, according to data from Johns Hopkins University, the World Health Organization says the disease is infecting people at a faster rate than before. Cases in the U.S. currently number more than 12,000 with 220 deaths.
And in Europe, Italy remains the epicenter of the outbreak. Deaths there now number more than in China as the country remains in lockdown. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Alessandro Speciale in Rome.
The situation is particularly worrying in the north. There are reports of hospitals really at capacity, not enough intensive care units for all the people coming in with the virus. One thing that is not clear is why the death rate in Italy has been so high compared to China.
Right now, infections in Italy have eclipsed 40,000. Deaths number more than 3,400.
And futures this morning are higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 80 points. Dow futures up 730. And NASDAQ futures up 344. The DAX in Germany is up 5.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1.12 seconds. Again, the yield 0.99%. Yield on the 2-year 0.40%. 30-year yield 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil is up 7.7%. Up $1.95 at 27.7. a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. We have the latest world and national news straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond. Now here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The coronavirus has taken a heavy toll on a New Jersey family. A fourth member of the Fusco family has died within a week. Elizabeth Fusco lost her mother and three siblings. She says her world began to crash down on her Tuesday morning.
I woke up Tuesday morning, the baby of 11. My mom called me and said, "Lizzie, I don't feel good. Rita don't feel good. Tony don't feel good. Can you come help us?"
In New Jersey, there are close to 320 COVID-19 cases. The tens of thousands of transit workers who help get New Yorkers around are calling for greater protection, with at least 23 MTA workers testing positive for COVID-19 so far. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the MTA will continue running, but this train worker is suggesting that Cuomo is playing Russian roulette with their lives.
The risk is if he runs these trains without any members of the train crews being checked for the coronavirus, he's going to have no service.
In New York City, cases of coronavirus have hit 4,000 with 26 deaths. The Metropolitan Opera is canceling the rest of its season and stopping the pay of the orchestra because of the virus. California Governor Gavin Newsom ordered that all of the state's 40 million residents go into home isolation starting last evening, marking the most stringent U.S. effort yet to stymie the spread of the novel coronavirus. During a news conference, Newsom said this is a moment where we need some straight talk.
This is not a permanent state. This is a moment in time. And we will meet this moment together, and we will look back at these kinds of decisions as pivotal decisions.
A $1 trillion plus bill has been introduced in the Senate to get Americans direct aid. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The plan is for bipartisan talks today. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says no middleman.
Direct financial help for Americans. Senate Republicans want to put cash in the hands of the American people.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer welcomes that, but says the bill also needs to include aid for hospitals. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's just before 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, the list of NBA players who have tested positive for coronavirus continues to grow. Started with Rudy Gobert. That is Utah teammate Donovan Mitchell, Christian Wood of the Pistons, Kevin Durant, and three Brooklyn teammates, and now add Marcus Smart of the Celtics.
What's up, everyone? So I just found out I tested positive for the coronavirus. I'm okay. I feel fine. I don't feel any of the symptoms, but I can't stress enough practicing social distancing and really, you know, keeping yourself away from a large group of people. And just really washing your hands and help protect yourself and help protect others by protecting yourself. Thank you.
And two Lakers have tested positive. Their identities not known. So has longtime Saints coach Sean Payton. That's the first from the NFL, whose teams have been signing free agents, and they want language put in the contracts protecting them if the player gets a positive test. The physicals, in many cases, are not going to take place for months due to the virus. Tom Brady's contract with Tampa Bay won't be signed until his physical. He's said to be trying to set one up in New York. Cam Newton, expected to be released soon by Carolina, hardly played last season due to an injured shoulder. Will teams want him if they can't have a doctor first take a look at him? The Giants have what appears to be an ideal backup for starting quarterback Daniel Jones. Colt McCoy, 9-year veteran, the last five in Washington. The Giants also signed Nate Ebner, 8 years with the Patriots, playing special teams. New Giants coach Joe Judge coached him in New England. Todd Gurley wants a star running back with the Rams. They released him. Joe Flacco wants a Super Bowl winning QB in Baltimore, 1 year in Denver. He's been released. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshauer. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
A coronavirus treatment worth watching. I'm Max Neeson, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. As the coronavirus crisis unfolded, we've seen a flood of announcements touting potential treatments. Many come from biotechs that haven't successfully developed a drug. Regeneron, on the other hand, has invented blockbuster medicines, has demonstrated ability to respond to outbreaks, and announced Tuesday that it's ahead of schedule on a new COVID drug. It may be ready for human trials in early summer. There's still a long road ahead, but the news is cause for measured optimism. Using proprietary mice with human-like immune systems, Regeneron developed an antibody cocktail that proved highly effective in preventing Ebola deaths during a recent epidemic in the Congo. Still, there's no guarantee of success in coronavirus, and progress considered rapid by drug development standards could feel slow as the outbreak grows. In the best-case scenario, where Regeneron hits ambitious timelines, the drug works, and regulators are supportive, it could conceivably see limited use sometime in the fall. The more likely scenario is that it takes longer. That may not seem like much of a win as cases mount, but keep in mind that a vaccine won't be available for at least a year. The most promising interim options are repurposed. With many drug companies having moved away from infectious disease, this novel remedy may be essential. I'm Max Neeson. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. Just before 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
With coronavirus arresting economic activity, small businesses could bear the brunt of the fallout with limited cash flow to cover debt expenses. And that may cause loan losses for the smaller regional banks. Bloomberg Intelligence is tracking loan amounts of $100,000 to $1 million from regulatory filings to assess exposure to small business lending. It appears the regional bank's higher capital levels will allow them to sustain an extraordinary amount of loan losses while still maintaining capital ratios above the minimum requirements. But there may be exceptions. In this Bloomberg analysis, Zions Bancorp, based in Salt Lake City, may have the highest capital drawdown because of the greater exposure to small businesses and the energy sector. That's followed by Huntington Citizens and Comerica. The analysis also shows Fifth Third and Regions holding up the best. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thanks. Some other stories we're following. Hertz Global Holdings, Avis Budget, and Enterprise want the Treasury Department to include the car rental industry in their plans to rescue travel companies. The firms also want temporary relief from the rent and minimum revenue sharing they pay to airports. Former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley is leaving Boeing's board after less than a year. She opposes the plane maker's decision to seek a bailout. Boeing does face a contentious fight on Capitol Hill over its push for $60 billion in aid. And Bloomberg News has learned AT&T is in talks with banks for a new term loan of roughly $3 billion, part of an effort to explore financing options and help the company navigate rising costs in the market for short-term IOUs. AT&T wants to pay down the highest debt load of any non-financial company in the U.S. Futures pointed higher. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and bonds climbing globally alongside U.S. stock index futures, with a dollar halts an eight-day rally as investors review the unprecedented measures to shield jobs and economies from the coronavirus. Oil is extending a rebound, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with contracts on the three main U.S. equity indexes all jumping, with NASDAQ 100 futures hitting their limit up. They're at 323 points right now, up 4.4%. S&P futures up 72, and NASDAQ futures up 664. The DAX in Germany is up 4.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1 15/32, yield 0.99%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.40%. And the 30-year yield, 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil up 7.7%, up $1.95 to $27.17 a barrel. COMEX gold up 2.33%, or $34.30 at $15.13.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.0736 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1788. And the yen is at 109.91. The VIX, 66.29. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, California imposed a statewide coronavirus stay-in-place order, though people can buy groceries and medicine. The governor estimated 56% of the state's population will get infected. Meanwhile, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will run out of medical supplies in 2 to 3 weeks. Four senators sold stock after receiving briefings in late January about the virus. According to Financial Records Intelligence Panel Chairman Richard Burr, sold between $628,000 and $1.72 million on February 13th in 33 transactions. Two other panel members, Dianne Feinstein and James Inhofe, also sold stock after the briefings. Kelly Loeffler began dumping 27 stocks on January 24th. The day the health committee she sits on held a meeting. New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton told ESPN that he learned yesterday that he tested positive for the coronavirus. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on QuickTake by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. and the latest on the coronavirus response in the nation's capital. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is urging Congress to move quickly on a $1.3 trillion stimulus measure that would include cash payments to Americans. President Trump is touting an anti-malaria drug to treat COVID-19, even though the FDA hasn't approved it for that purpose. And the president has canceled a G7 summit at Camp David set for this June. Because of the coronavirus, he's going to hold a video conference instead. Also making news, as Michael mentioned, four U.S. senators who sold stock after receiving sensitive briefings about the threat of COVID-19. For more on all this, we're joined by Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy Advisory. Good to talk with you as always, Terry. And, of course, this controversy about these four senators, particularly Senate Intelligence Chairman Richard Burr, is creating quite a lot of consternation inside the Beltway. What do you make of these revelations that came at a time apparently when President Trump was still downplaying the threat, when these briefings apparently happened back in January?
Good morning, Nathan. And those of you who remember Lucille Ball will appreciate that there's at least four senators that are going to have some splaining to do.
Yeah.
And there are lots of reasons why these things could have happened. Some of them nefarious, some of them not. And they're going to have to talk about that. And I think that'll unleash a lot of, as it already has, a lot of emotion at those folks. So I hope their reasons, whatever they were legitimate, and that they worked to tamp those things down quickly, because the last thing we need is the additional lack of faith in political institutions right now and the people that are helping to run them.
Well, what do you make of some of the explanations we've seen so far? I know that Senator Burr and Senator Loeffler, who we should mention is married to the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, came out on Twitter last night after these media reports. I think Senator Burr called it a tabloid-style report. Are they going to need to do more than just that?
Yeah, if were I advising any senator of either party on media response and substantive response, I would advise them very strongly that what's gone on so far is highly inadequate, and that they're going to actually have to come clean, very simply.
Well, what could these revelations mean in terms of the actual effort happening on Capitol Hill to work through this pandemic, to provide some kind of economic relief for these industry sectors that are screaming for it? Does this potential political distraction undermine that effort in any way?
I think that's a very smart question, but I think the answer is no. There are too many people rightly focused on the need to get something moving, and the large what's now being called the stimulus bill, the large stimulus bill, and get that completed quickly and with a good deal of bipartisan agreement. And the difficulties of a few policymakers, none of whom are – all of whose votes are important, but none of whom are front and center in this particular crisis response, I don't think slows anything down. It's not going to be – it's not going to be anything that that interposes itself between the discussions that are taking place now among the administration, Senator McConnell, Senator Schumer, Speaker Pelosi, and others. That's not going to happen. Should that start to happen, they'll sweep it out of the way pretty quickly, but I don't anticipate that it will.
What do you make of how this all-of-government approach, as Vice President Pence has termed it, has been working out so far? We've, of course, seen a lot of discussions, dozens of them in just the past few days, between House Speaker Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin. At the same time, we had that video conference between the president and the nation's governors at FEMA headquarters yesterday that seemed to indicate there's a little bit of a mixed response, at least in terms of how the governors see the federal government responding to this.
I think that two things. One is I have not been a bit surprised by seeing Washington work so well in a bipartisan manner, generally speaking, in terms of what to do and what to do next. I was very closely involved in the 9/11 response on the senior level in the Congress on many levels, senior staff level in Congress on many levels. I was closely involved from the private sector in during the financial crisis. People tend to come together on this stuff, and that's largely a good thing. At the same time, there has been, I think, with the rush in Washington to focus on federal solutions, there's been a little bit of a disconnect in terms of how seamlessly the federal government and the state governments are working together. And you're quite right to point out that that bump in the road. And I imagine that's being rectified as we speak. There is no shortage of and that bump in the road is due not just to the federal side, but also to the states. The governors have every right to do what's within their own powers to address coronavirus problems and issues, and they're doing that in a variety of different ways. And you've seen even in New York, for example, disconnects between the state government and New York City governments in terms of what ought to happen and how it ought to happen. I guess I would think of it as being in shakedown cruise mode, and these folks, I think, will very quickly start working more in harness together.
The president has seemed reluctant, at least at this point, to invoke the Defense Production Act powers that he signed. He's been saying that, you know, he signed it so that he could use it if needed. House Speaker Pelosi is saying, you got to do this now. What's your view on that? Should the president invoke Defense Production Act powers at this point?
I think the president will end up invoking Defense Production Act powers at some point. For your audience, Defense Production Act essentially gives the president and the federal government the ability to direct any particular industry to move to a war footing and produce war-related things. So, you know, president could look at a particular industry and say, now you're producing ventilators, or you're doing this, you're doing that, whatever it takes. And, what they're concerned about in the White House and the Treasury, and they're right to be concerned about this, is if you're trying to get the economy back on a good footing, it's difficult to figure out how you should be directing things. And those problems change constantly. As Vice President Pence pointed out yesterday, essentially, there used to be a perceived ventilator shortage, and now apparently we're on the way already to figuring out that there probably won't be for whatever reason, and that's a good thing. But 7 days ago, you might well have invoked the Defense Production Act for something that didn't need to happen after all.
All right, we're in this for the long haul. I hope we can check in with you soon, Terry. Thanks, as always. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy Advisory. Follow all the latest developments on the coronavirus at VRUSGO on the Bloomberg Terminal or online at Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. S&P futures are up about 74 points. Dow futures up 685, and NASDAQ futures up 312. Uber is among the most active this morning, up 14.7%. So is Apple, up 4.6%. And Tesla is up 5.6% this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Jonathan Farrell and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.